Thank the Lord for the truth of His Word and for giving us a Bible and for the opportunity that we have to hide God's Word in our hearts. Psalm 23 this evening. And a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to study one of the other names of God, Jehovah Jireh, from Genesis chapter 22. And that name, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And last week we started dealing with Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. And as we looked at that study last week, we really focused primarily on the fact of who God used to reveal to us as a human penman the name, the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, and that being David. And we talk about the significance of David himself being a shepherd and being able to easily relate to what was being communicated by God when he would use that name, Jehovah Ra. And so now as I mentioned this last week, that we would spend several weeks looking at various aspects with regard to what does it mean, what is God communicating to us when he says that one of his names is Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Tonight, we're going to look at the first few verses here from Psalm 23 and consider this truth: my shepherd provides for me. My shepherd provides for me. As we begin to think about that, obviously there's a connection with Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, and we looked at that in Genesis 22, but I want you to notice here in Psalm 23, the first three verses, and again, it's a psalm that many of us are familiar with. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." As we're going to think about this evening, that my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and my shepherd, he provides for me. And I mentioned last week as we talked some about David and understanding shepherding and all the responsibilities of a shepherd and all of the needs of the sheep. And we mentioned this, that David would be able to relate easily with what God was seeking to communicate because David understood how needy the sheep were. And then David, as a shepherd himself, understands that the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one, that he is my shepherd. And what a blessing to consider the truth of God's word and understanding the truth that is being communicated. This idea tonight that the Lord, my shepherd, that he provides for me, we notice several things here. Notice in verse number 2 that the Bible says this: he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I want you to think about just for a moment the imagery of this verse of scriptures. You begin to think about sheep and shepherd, and you think about the natural truth of sheep and a shepherd, and the sheep have a need for nutrition. They have a need to eat, and it is in the best interest of the shepherd to provide well for the sheep, and he wants them because it's his livelihood, it's his occupation, and we find that he's going to lead them. And here, as we begin to think about God and him being our shepherd, and we look at this imagery here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, I begin to understand this evening that physical, natural truth that is being communicated to us. But then as we understand the spiritual truth and how God, he takes care of our needs, he provides for our needs. The Bible doesn't say that he leadeth me to pastures. The Bible says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If you know something about sheep, sheep are really kind of, we use that word sheepish, right? I mean, they're kind of nervous animal, and they're always concerned about being eaten up by something. And the reality is that it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We will notice in a next lesson about how my shepherd not only provides for me, but he protects me. And we see that even here in this opening verse, in verse number 2, dealing with what our shepherd does for us. And it says, in green pastures. Then we find that it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The still waters. It's my understanding, as I've done some outside research with regard to sheep and their behavior and what have you, that they do not have the capacity of being able to really drink from rushing waters. And so therefore we find that again the Bible would give to us this truth that he leads me, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And you begin to understand, again, as David, being the human penman communicating these things to us, he understood the importance as a shepherd of leading and providing for his sheep and providing for them green pastures and having the awareness of where am I going to lead the sheep that have been left to my keeping, where am I going to lead them and to take them to still waters because they need that nourishment. They need the sustenance. You know, God knows exactly what we need, and God takes good care of us. And I understand that as we look at this passage and begin to look at these phrases with regard to the green pastures and the still waters, and we notice the significance of it this evening, that God provides for me, my shepherd. He provides for me. We notice in verse number 3, as we continue to understand this truth of provision, it says that he restoreth my soul. And the reality is that we begin to look at this phraseology, and the word restore there carries with it that idea of refreshing. And we see how that even from verse 2 with those green pastures and the still waters, that it would be refreshing. And I begin to think about how God restores us, how he refreshes my soul. You know what a blessing it is to be nourished by God. To understand, and this evening, obviously, we're talking about some, yes, God provides for us physically, but we have to understand the spiritual provision of our God. The fact that God provides for us physically is obviously a blessing, and we ought to be thankful for it, and we ought to acknowledge it, but the reality is that God provides for our spiritual sustenance. He provides for us what we need, and no doubt, as we get into God's Word, as He gives to us the bread of life, that it restores our soul. It refreshes us. And what a blessing it is to understand that. The Bible then says that he leadeth me, notice at the end of verse number 3, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Begin to think about the leadership that God provides for us, and I'm thankful this evening that we understand that God has given to us his word. Thy word is truth. We understand that, but he says that his word is like a lamp. It's like a light. It provides for us direction. Oftentimes, as we think about the Old Testament, we think about the leadership for the nation of Israel, and obviously as they left from Egypt, we have these two very distinct things that God reveals to us, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Begin to think about how those two thoughts there that God gives to us, the truths of his leadership, how that would provide direction for the people of God. Moses was simply following as God would have that pillar move. He'd follow, and of course the people would say, why'd you bring us here? And it's like, do you see? Like, we're following God, and God is leading them, and he would use that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire to provide direction. This evening, we don't have a pillar of cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night, but I believe, and I would argue, that we have something far superior because we have God's Word, and we have the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us. And we find this evening that the Holy Spirit of God provides for us direction. Do you remember when Paul was praying about where to go? And the Bible says that the Spirit suffereth them not. The Spirit of God closed that door. And other times Paul says that there's an open door, and you see the leadership of the Spirit of God in the lives of his people. And what a blessing. Now, we understand tonight, God's not going to lead us contrary. His Spirit's not going to lead you contrary to his word. There's going to be consistency. There's going to be a complement as you begin to look at, you know, this is what God is leading me to do. Well, it's got to be consistent with what he's revealed to us within his word. And so this evening, when we think about that direction, and all of us need direction, and we spoke about this a little bit during the message of Jehovah Jireh, and we see it here in the text, and we understand this evening that God, my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, that he, my shepherd, he provides for me. So we're going to think about that this evening. I got some thoughts and questions for you as we look at this truth that my shepherd provides for me. Number one, if you're taking notes, do we recognize his provision? Do we recognize his provision? In your life and in my life, in our lives corporately as a church, do we recognize God's provision? And I believe this evening that it's important, yea, imperative, that we discipline ourselves to recognize his provision in our lives. that we're careful to acknowledge that every good gift, every perfect gift, where does it come from according to James? It comes down from our Father, amen? And He's above, and He doeth all things well, and He giveth to us liberally. We find that this evening the psalmist would say that the Lord daily loadeth me with benefits, and it's a discipline that we would recognize His provision in our lives. See, the danger is that we start thinking that we somehow have gotten whatever it is that we have. That somehow the provision that we enjoy, that it's the result of our own abilities, our own work. Now the reality is that God has commanded us to work, and God will bless that work through providing us provision, but we have to acknowledge that it's God who gives us the ability to work. So ultimately, it's God who gives us the provision. It's God who gives you the ability to have the job that you have, to think the way that you're able to think, to do whatever it is that you're able to do. And sometimes we have people say, well, you know, I was well-trained, and, you know, I have good genes and smart parents, and I have all of... No, listen. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? He is the leader of the world. And in just a moment, because of his pride, he's out in the middle of a field like a beast. Is that what Daniel records for us? And so the reality this evening is that when we talk about recognizing His provision in our lives, I believe there needs to be some discipline in our lives that we begin to really understand that this is God's provision. My shepherd is providing for me. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, and I want to read about 10 or 12 verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Normally, at times on various messages, I've simply referenced a verse of Scripture from this text and we've continued and moved forward. But I want you to see what God is saying to the children of Israel as they would get and prepare for entering into the land of promise. In Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse number 7, notice what the Bible says. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. Isn't that wonderful? It says, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Do you see that in verse number 10? When thou hast eaten and are full, then what is your response? What do you do? Will you recognize that it was God's hand of provision? And it says, then thou shalt bless the Lord, what really leads us to our next point this evening, thy God, for the good land which He hath given thee. Then notice verse 11, it starts with this word, beware. Now, you ever see a sign that says beware? What do you do when you see a sign that says beware? Do you ignore it or do you take note? See, I'm the kind of guy, if it says beware of dogs, listen, I am taking note. I am not ignoring it. I am believing whoever put the sign up that there are dogs. Why? Because I don't get along well with dogs, and so therefore I am taking note to the beware sign. Now I know, growing up, my grandparents, they had dogs, and their dogs died when I was a young kid, and for probably 8 or 10 years they kept signs up on their gates that said beware of dog, but there are no dogs there anymore. But you know, people still took note of those signs. And so when God uses the word beware, He's trying to get our attention, right? He listen, there's a warning that God has given us. Notice, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy hands and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, notice what he tells them, here's the warning, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. This is written to the children of Israel as they're preparing to enter into the land. But I begin to look and understand, and we acknowledge this evening that the church is not Israel, but there's so many truths that you can find through there. And when you come to Revelation chapter 3 and the church of the Laodiceans, they say, hey, we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. It's a danger. In chapter 6, a few chapters earlier, here in the book of Deuteronomy, he tells them, you're going to go into a land and you're going to receive all of these things. And he says in verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I want you to notice that in verse 17, God says, when all these things are happening, you need to beware and you need to be careful that you don't say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. And then notice the truth in verse number 18. But thou shalt remember. What is it that you should remember? Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. This evening, do we recognize his provision? Do we recognize tonight, individually, as individual families, as a church, do we recognize the provision of God? Do we recognize tonight that Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, that my shepherd provides for me? We notice this as we can think about this truth of recognizing his provision and disciplining ourselves to recognize it in our lives. I would say this, and if this is applicable to you, then take it. If not, then obviously you can save it and use it for somebody else. But we ought to teach our children to recognize God's provision. We ought to teach our kids how good God has been to provide for us. If you don't have kids, you might not be able to do that in your own family, but can I tell you that as a church, we can talk to and we can mentor and influence this next generation that they would understand this is God's hand of provision. And listen, this next generation needs to understand that the Lord Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd, that he is the one that provides and that it is his provision and we are stewards. I told you, I still have the sticky note on my desk. It's a statement that I read several weeks ago and I wrote it on a sticky note and I stuck it right in the middle of my desk calendar and it says this, stop trying to possess what God gave you to steward. Why did I write it on my desk? Why do I still have it there? Because there's such a danger for us to try to possess. This is my fill in the blank. Instead of recognizing that everything I have is God's and I'm just a steward. You say, no, Pastor, you're wrong. My name is on the title of my car. I hope tonight that you can understand where I'm coming from, that we got to take a step further back from that and say, no. It's God's. God is the one who has provided for me. And we begin to understand the importance of teaching our children at a young age to recognize God's provision in your family and in our church. I would say this, that it would be a good exercise for parents to challenge their children to identify what God has provided and how God has provided. Let the kids be able to acknowledge and see and recognize, look at what God has done. Look at how God has provided. I shared this once before, but a missionary family that we've supported for a number of years, the Caldwell family, they were dealing with a need that they had, and they weren't sure how the need was going to be met. They had a meeting on a Sunday. They're in a church, and they were praying that through the offering from that church that God would meet the need that they had, and they had a Monday deadline, and they were just praying that they would get the kind of offering that they needed to be able to meet the need, and they left the church, and unfortunately, the offering from the church wasn't significant enough to meet the need, and Brother Caldwell is the one that shared this story with me, and he said immediately, kind of, I was, what are we going to do? And I began talking to my wife as we're in the front of the car, like, what are we going to do? Like, this is tomorrow. Like, what are we going to do here? And he said that as they were driving, he could hear the kids talking in the back of the vehicle, and he heard one of the boys say to the other kids, he said this, I can't wait to see what God does to provide for this need. That's pretty neat, isn't it? To think about teaching our kids and teaching them the importance of the Lord my shepherd. He provides for me. That we can see His hand of provision, that we can recognize and identify that this is God providing for me. God gave us a job. God gave us the ability to so on and so forth. This is God's provision. And then I want to ask this question, do we rejoice for His provision? Rejoice. When I dealt with Jehovah Jireh several weeks ago, we dealt with a whole lot of things that God provides for us, and we looked at a number of those things and things that are not monetary type things, and how God provides wisdom for us and strength for us, and we dealt with all of those things. And this evening we talk about recognizing His provision, but then also rejoicing for His provision. We found here in Deuteronomy chapter number 8 that in verse number 10 it says, when thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. To bless the Lord, to praise Him, to rejoice in what He has done. Now, it's quite obvious if we fail to recognize His provision, then we're obviously not going to rejoice for His provision, right? Because if we're not recognizing it, then we're obviously not rejoicing. We're not thanking Him. We're not acknowledging the One who has given to us. And so when we begin to understand this discipline and this importance of recognizing in my life, in your life, in the lives of our children, that we recognize the hand of God, that we will come to that place where we're praising Him, that we're rejoicing in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's still in the book. Even though we live in the last days and it's characterized by those that are unthankful, we understand this evening that as God's people, we are to be a thankful people. We understand this evening that as God's people, we're to be content. The question, when we talk about rejoicing for His provision, the question that comes to my mind is this: am I content with God's provision? Am I content with God's provision? Well, I know it's a car that gets me back and forth, but it's really not the car I wanted. I wish I could. It's just a little silly illustration, but you understand what I'm trying to communicate this evening, that we need to become content with God's hand of provision. That we understand this evening, as Paul would say, that he's learned in whatsoever state he is, therewith to be content. And I've often said to you with transparency from this pulpit that I am learning to be content. We live in a society that absolutely is 100% opposite of contentment. Discontent rules our culture. You give a kid an ice cream and it's the wrong flavor. Am I right? You give a kid a cake and it's like, but I want it sprinkles on the cake. I mean, it's just one thing after the other. We have discontented people in our society, and we live in a society that breeds on it. I mean, they absolutely have just pushed this idea down our throat, marketing and otherwise. But I understand that even though our culture does not aid in developing this perspective that we're dealing with tonight and having this rejoicing spirit in recognizing the provision of God, that we must understand biblically that we are to be content. that we are to rejoice for God's provision or in God's provision. I want you to notice back in Psalm 23, and we're going to just kind of deal with this in closing, and yes, we don't see the necessarily rejoicing, but I want to focus, and again, it's a familiar psalm. I mean, many of you could stand up this evening and quote the entirety of the psalm. It's so familiar to us, but I want you to see when we begin to think about this idea of rejoicing, after we recognize God's provision, we ought to rejoice for God's provision. Can I tell you that rejoicing includes not only praising and thanking God, but I would say that rejoicing also takes a point of being able to share with others how God has provided. Because you know what we're doing? We're exalting our God. Can I tell you how good God has been? Can I tell you what God has done for us? We're not bragging on us, we're bragging on God. Look at what God has done. Look what God is doing, and we can rejoice in that. But I want you to notice these simple words at the end of verse number 1. I shall not want. I shall not want. Sometimes in our culture today, I believe that we somehow get confused needs and wants. Does that make sense to you? I need this, but it's really just I want this. But we've recategorized it, we've redefined it as being a need. God knows everything that we need. We looked at this in Matthew 6 when we dealt with Jehovah Jireh. God knows our needs. We begin to think about the truth of I shall not want. I shall not want. I've had people ask me questions before about some, as a pastor, you get all kinds of questions with counseling things and what have you. And I've had some people over the years ask me about some financial counseling. And I'll always say this, I can help you with some budgeting kind of things, but if it's financial counseling like investing, I am the wrong guy. Like, this is not my deal. All right? But you know, with a market like we've experienced in the last few weeks, you got people going absolutely crazy. Do you not? People going absolutely crazy. What's going to happen? Da, da, da. It's up and down. It's all this kind of stuff. And the reality is that here's what God said. Jesus Christ, when he was during his earthly ministry, one of the disciples went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Right? One disciple said that. When you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? We know the reverence. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't want you to raise your hand this evening, but I want you to just examine your heart, and me as well. How many times in our lives have we prayed for daily bread? It's amazing how good God has been to us. It's absolutely overwhelming how good God has been to us. I have been guilty of standing in front of a refrigerator that's full, a pantry that's full, and saying something like this, there's nothing to eat. I've been guilty of that. You know why I've said that? Because there was nothing that I wanted to eat. It didn't mean there's nothing to eat. I mean, we probably got 30 pounds of rice in our basement. I don't really want to eat 30 pounds of rice. But the reality is that if I'm hungry enough, I'm going to eat the rice. But there's 30, 40 pounds of rice just sitting down in our basement. And I'm just simply saying tonight, the Lord my shepherd, he provides for us. And I hope tonight that we would learn to discipline ourselves to recognize his provision. Every day of our lives, do we recognize this is God's provision for us? This is what God has done for us. Thank you, Lord. We're rejoicing because why? When I recognize that it's coming from God and not just, well, I was, you know, I got that promotion at work. I did da-da-da-da-da. No, no, no. Listen, it was God that gave us that. It was God that allowed that. I made some really good investments. God's favor. Right? It's God. And we recognize it. And we rejoice. And we teach others the importance of recognizing and understanding tonight that the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, he provides for me. He provides for me. Why? Because the shepherd always provides for the sheep. And here David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's a measure of confidence that we should have in Jehovah Ra, God my shepherd, that he will take care of me. We sing songs about God's provision and God taking care of us. But sometimes when it gets right down to the everyday living, we fret over it, we worry about it, and we're concerned. God will take care of us. I shall not want. And what a blessing. The reality this evening is God has met all of our needs. Could you say that tonight? God's met all of our needs. But for, I'm going to say for all of us, but I'll say, maybe I should say for most of us, because all is just inclusive. So for most of us, God's only provided all of our needs, but he's taken care of all of our wants as well. He's just been so good to us. What do we really need or want that, you understand what I'm saying? God's been so good to us. And tonight, I hope that we just kind of hit a reset. Say, it's God. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. One of the things that he does as our shepherd is he provides for us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your provision. And we can talk, as we did weeks ago from the passage dealing with Jehovah Jireh, that there's so many aspects of your provision. And God, we're thankful for each of them. Lord, we thank you for how good you have been to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize and to rejoice. Help us to influence a future generation, our children, and Lord, those in our church, to be able to identify what you have provided and how you have provided, that they too would learn, the Lord my shepherd provides for me. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. I pray that you'd bless, you'd be honored and glorified, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray, amen.